Good morning. Can you all hear me okay? You know, thank you for welcoming Nigel and me back here. Every speaker says what a privilege it is to come and speak, but do you know what? It really is. It's a joy. It's a real joy to be with you again 2 years after we were first with you. And Simon, thank you for playing again. You played last time we were here, and thank you for everybody who's made this service possible. We really, really appreciate it. Age 31, I had been a Christian for 17 years and had read bits of the Bible every day. And I had a growing hunger to know more, but I didn't know how to dig deeper into the Bible for myself. We were then introduced to Precept's method of reading and studying the Bible, and the Bible went from black and white to colour. I don't know if any of you have ever had that experience. It went from being real and active and living, because God's word is always that, but it became exciting and understandable and applicable. And 30 years later, my enthusiasm hasn't changed. My devotional study of God's word using the simple tools that I learnt continue to be just as exciting, rewarding, and transforming. And this is what Precept does. We're an organization that gives you skills, simple, effective skills and tools to study the Bible. And those of you who were with us here 2 years ago, you'll remember that we went through a passage from 2 Kings 5. Now, I know that some of you here have no problem at all setting aside time to study God's word, and you can handle it really well. I've been learning about your Bible study, ladies' Bible study that you have. And you know, that is amazing. That is absolutely fantastic. But for many people, that isn't the case. You know, as Nigel and I travel around, we repeatedly hear from people who want help handling the Bible. I've left mine down there. I was going to hold it up, but you know what a Bible looks like. They may feel inadequate or lacking in education, or they're overwhelmed because the Bible is so big and the language and events seem so far removed from 2024. And some feel guilty and dread discussions about the dreaded quiet time and how they're getting on, because in reality they're struggling with it. Well, the good news is that God wrote the Bible for everyone. And I believe that with a little bit of help, the vast majority of people can fall in love with it and dig out truth for themselves. Now, just very, very briefly, I just want to show you that as a ministry, there are a number of different resources that we offer, from children's to in-depth adult studies. And we've got just a few next door. All of them are available on our website. But do come and have a look if you want to browse the book table. You're very welcome. They're there to be purchased. So if there's anything that takes your fancy, then come and see Nigel or me. That would be lovely. Now, on our website, we do have some foreign materials, but we don't advertise all of them. As a ministry, Precept operates in 180 countries around the world, and some of the materials are translated into 80 different languages. So they're not all advertised on our website, but if you are from, if English isn't your first language and you would like to study in your own language, please do contact us, because we may be able to help you with Bible study materials. Simon has asked us to join you today because after Easter, you're going to be going through a sermon series, I believe, on spiritual warfare. And we're here to help you just introduce that subject to you. We're not going to go into too much depth, but just going to introduce it to you. Oh, yes, you should have a sheet, actually. All of you should have a sheet and a pen. And I've just put on the board there that these are free downloadable. We call them lightning or discovery studies. And we've got quite a number of them on the website. They're all free. As I say, you can download them, print them off. You can use them yourself, or you can use them with other people. As many times as you want. And details for getting more are actually on the back of your sheet. And we're going to be using that sheet in just a minute. But before we do, there we go. If you go to our website, you'll be able to see where it talks about lightning and discovery studies. And on our YouTube channel, Precept UK has a YouTube channel. If you just type in Precept UK, there are two precepts, actually. One is not us, one's another one, but you need to look for that little kind of logo. It looks like five lines. It's actually the light meant to be shining out. God's word is light, and our strap word is, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So that's our logo. So after lunch, as Simon has said and Ruth has said, Nigel's going to be taking those of you who want to come, and if you haven't booked in, you know, as Simon said, please just do come along. A study on spiritual warfare. It's a resource that you can use either by yourself or you can use it as going through the sermon series after Easter. That'll be starting at 1:30. So if you're going home for lunch and you're coming back, then that'll be starting at 1:30. All right, so firstly, let's just look at a few scriptures that will help us understand why there is spiritual warfare and who it's between. And you'll know, I'm sure most of you will be familiar with some of these scriptures. This is not on your sheet, so there's no point looking. Just look at this board for a moment. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were all present for creation at the beginning, before time, space, or matter existed. They created everything. They created everything, and the pinnacle of their creation is man. It's humankind. It's man and woman. And we read in verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God created man in his image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them. God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And then in verse 31, we read that God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Mankind is made in the image of God, male and female. They were given his authority to rule over the earth and everything in it. God gave them a relationship with him, an identity, a purpose, and a vision. And God said that it was very good. But we carry on reading in Genesis 3, verse 1, it says this. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? The serpent, or as Revelation 13, verse 8 confirms, that's the devil. He targeted man by deceit, by lies, and murder, with the result that sin entered the world, man's relationship with God was broken, pain, suffering, and death became a reality. Man lost his God-given authority to rule over the earth. And ever since, right down to today, God's word is undermined. Man's identity is confused. Sanctity of life is disregarded. The covenant of marriage between a man and a woman is rewritten. Our ecosystem is being destroyed. Genesis chapters 1 and 2 especially, but the first 11 chapters of the Bible are often stated as irrelevant and myth, even by elements within the church. When Adam believed the words of the serpent rather than God's word, he forfeited his right to rule and reign the earth and be under God's kingdom. And all mankind ever since has been under the power and the influence of the devil. Paul, writing to the church in Ephesus, says this, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that is the devil, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. But the amazing news is that, according to Colossians 1:13, God has rescued us as believers from the domain of darkness, and he has transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. Anybody say hallelujah? Hallelujah. I mean, what an amazing gift. What an amazing blessing. The war has been won, and we are recipients of God's grace. But the enemy is still at large, and there are smaller battles that still need fighting. But how do we do that? How do we overcome our unseen enemy and stand firm in the truth? You might not even consider having been in a spiritual battle. Well, if you have ever sat down to read the Bible and pray, and then an overwhelming desire to clean the house, hang up the washing, polish the car, pay the bills, and so on has overcome you, then I suspect you have been. And I don't know about you, but when we had children living at home, Sunday morning was the worst battleground of every day of the week. Trying to get out to get, I've got a few nods, I can see a few people nodding. All right, so spiritual warfare comes in many different guises, and it affects us in multiple different ways. But the enemy behind it always seeks to destroy our relationship with God and with others. The enemy behind it always seeks to destroy our relationship with God and with others. Thank you. You can turn that off now. Thank you. All right, so you should all have your handout and a pen. Hopefully you've all got a pen, something to write with. As I've said, these are free downloadable studies. They are quick start. They're not intended to be exhaustive. I believe that you may well be having another sermon on Ephesians chapter 6 at some point in the future. So we are going to go through this, and I would love you to go through this with me as we go. At the bottom on the left, you can see it says, first things first. In his final comments to the church in Ephesus, Paul instructs how they can overcome their unseen battle. Can I just pray? I know Ruth prayed. Can I just pray again? Do you mind? I've just learned that it's always good to pray before I open the Word of God. Father, we thank you that your word is a sure word. And Father, we bow before you now and ask that you would have your way and your will in our lives. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you. All right. In his final comments to the church in Ephesus, Paul instructs how they can overcome their unseen battle. He uses a visual aid, one that everyone at that time would be familiar with, that of a battle-ready Roman soldier. A soldier serves in an army under the authority of a commander. And Paul reminds them that as believers, their position is in the Lord. He's been talking about that throughout the book of Ephesians. And that the Lord is their supreme commander. Now, some of you will remember this perhaps. Most of you might not remember. I'm married to a soldier. He's now a retired soldier, but he is a soldier. My husband served in the British Army for 25 years. So, we've got a real soldier here. Any other soldiers here today? Anybody else serving in the military? No? All right, well, you have to imagine Nigel as a Roman soldier, okay? Or kit it up. Okay, so the Bible makes it clear that all believers will be engaged in spiritual battles. Have you ever been subject to spiritual warfare? If so, what form did it take and how did you respond? I want you to think about that question just for a minute. Have you ever been subject to spiritual warfare? If so, what form did it take and how did you respond? We haven't got time to hear all your answers this morning, but I think it's certainly well worth stopping to think about that. So, if you just look at your sheet, you can see at the top, you've got observe on the top right-hand side. On the back, you've got interpret, and then you've got apply. And when we teach people how to study the Bible, we teach people those three kind of components. The majority of our time will be spent observing the text, looking carefully at what the Bible says, so then that we can interpret it, we can understand what it means, and then we can apply it. Application is the goal of all Bible study. That's where we're headed. But we're going to start off with the observe. So let's just look at top of the right-hand side under observe. Number one, it says, read the passage and underline the phrase, whole armour of God. So I'm going to read it to you. And when we get to that phrase, whole armour of God, I want you to call out and you can underline it at the same time. All right, here we go. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the what? The whole armour of God. Underline that phrase. That you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. So this is obviously a familiar passage to us. We had that wonderful cartoon song based on this passage that we joined in earlier. So if you look at point number two, and as I say, these are very simple. They're not intended to be exhaustive, but these are studies that you can use by yourself or with other people. It says, what do you learn about the armour in verse 11 and 13? So somebody with a big loud voice, tell me, what do we learn about the armour in verse 11? What are we to do with it? We're to what?
Stand against the schemes of the devil.
What are we to do with it, first of all? I think you said it, Roger. Put it on. All right, we're to put it on. Okay. Ah, thank you. We're to put on the whole armour, not just part of it, the whole armour. And let me ask you another question. Whose armour is it? It's God's armor. All right. So it's we're to put it on. That means to sink into it, to clothe ourselves with it. We're to put on the whole armor, not just part of it, all of it. And it's God's armor. All right, good. That's verse 11. Anything different in verse 13? What are we to do with it? We're to take it up. All right. In other words, we're to take it up in order to use it. When Nigel went off to dangerous theaters, places of war, he took with him his armor. We had a helmet sat at home. Had he left his helmet at home, it wouldn't have been much use to him in Bosnia or Afghanistan or wherever he was. We have to take it up in order to use it. That's what we learn in verse 13. All right, good. Now, we need everything in order for our armor to be complete. Everything. So, point number three says, what is the armor's purpose? What is the purpose? Now, Dala, I think you were beginning to tell us that. What is the purpose?
To be able to stand against the schemes of the devil.
All right, good. So we're to put on that armor. Why? That there tells us why. Helps us to see that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. And the stand there means hold your position. Don't move, stand. As a soldier, Nigel was told to hold his position at times. He was a man under orders. And this is what you're to do, this is what the armor does. It's to so that we can stand against the schemes of the devil, his cunning, deceitful trickery. That's why we have the armor. And then in verse 13, why? Why are we to take up the whole armor? Good, to withstand. That means to resist, to oppose in the evil day. And what else? Having done all, to what? Stand firm. And that word there is immutable. It means you're standing firm. God is immutable, and in him we can be immutable too. We can stand firm. We can stand our ground. All right, good. We're going to read verses 14 to 18 again, and we're going to number off each piece of the armor. This is number four. The first two have been done for us. So let's just number them off first of all. So let's start off with verse 14. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. Now you can see there's a little number one there. That's the first piece of the armor, belt of truth. And having put on the breastplate of righteousness, that's the second piece. All right. And as what? Shoes for your feet. Put a little number three over shoes. That's the third piece of the armor. And as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace, in all circumstances, take up the what? The shield of faith. That's the number four. That's the fourth one. With which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet. That's number five. Of salvation. And the sword of the Spirit, that's number six, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all what? Prayer and supplication. Now, I'm going to ask that you put a little number seven over there, because although often we talk about six pieces of the armor, when I was talking about this with Nigel, I said, do you ever have any unseen pieces of armor? What happens if you were isolated from your commander? Would you be effective? Would you know what to do? Would you know how to operate? He said, we have a radio. We have a means of communication. Now, a Roman soldier, they had the standards. The standard was the flag. And the flag was really important. The British military still parade standards today, but they're kind of like, I don't know what you call them nowadays, trophies. Battle honours. But they were vital. It's one of their means of communication. So I'm asking that we put number seven over prayer and communication. We'll talk about that more in just a second. All right, so let's just carry on reading point number four. It says, then list them below and what you learn about each piece. So it says there, the belt of truth. And with the belt of truth, it has to be fastened on. Now, a belt, as you know, goes around your waist, normally, or your hips. And the belt was strong, and it was from the belt that the Roman soldier, and indeed today the modern army, modern soldier, they hang some of their weaponry. It's where the sword would have been hung from, or a dagger. It's called webbing in the British military now. That's their belt. And they'd have ammunition, they may have the radio, they may have all sorts of things. It's not just for holding up your trousers. It's actually a vital piece of equipment, the belt. And it's the belt of what? Truth. Okay. So, and it has to be fastened on. All right, the next one we've got is the breastplate of righteousness. And that has to be put on too. All right, so number three, we said the three was your shoe as shoes. So what has to happen to the shoes as well? They've got to be put on as well, don't they? So verse 14 says, having put on the breastplate of righteousness and as shoes for your feet. So they've got to be put on. And a Roman soldier's shoes had like nails in them or bits of metal in them. They had studs so that they could be firm in the ground, so they wouldn't slip, so they'd be able to walk effectively, and it kept their shoes together. And a soldier's boots are really important. One of the first things that when they go their basic training, they get their boots on, they mould the boots. Really vital. Okay, we'll come back to more information in just a minute. And then the shield of faith, that's your next one. What's got to happen to the shield of faith? What have we got to do with the shield of faith? Take it up. All right, can you hear all these commands, what we've got to do with them all? We've got to take it up. And then we've got the helmet of salvation. What have we got to do with that? Take that too. And the sword of the Spirit. Okay. And I think we have to take that up. And as we read it, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of Spirit. And then that seventh thing, which I would suggest you just put down as prayer and supplication. Supplication is requests. It's making our requests known. And what are we to do? How are we to pray, according to verse 18? At all times in the Spirit. Okay, so it's to be Spirit-led prayer. So on your little list so far, you've probably got, you've got belt of truth that's to be fastened on. You've got the shield of faith, you've got the breastplate of righteousness that is to be put on. You've got shoes that are to be put on, a shield of faith to be taken up, the helmet of salvation to be taken, the sword of the Spirit to be taken, and there's to be prayer and supplication by praying in the Spirit. All right? Are you happy with that? Just simply looking at it. We're going to look at it more in a minute. But that's what we're to do. We're to do all those things. Now, number five, it says, read the whole passage again and circle the words devil and evil one and who the believer's struggle is against in verse 12. All right, now, because of time, I don't want to, it'll take a bit long. I'm just going to point and direct us to verse 11. So let me read verse 10 and verse 11 first of all. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of who? So circle that. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against who? So put a circle around rulers. Against the what? The authorities. Circle that. Against the what? Cosmic powers over this present darkness. Against the what? Spiritual forces of evil. Circle that. Even in the heavenly places. I'm going to jump down to verse 16, actually. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of who? The evil one. All right, so circle the evil one there. So we've now identified our enemy. So the question is, how are they described? So, from verse 11, we know it's the devil. He's our enemy, so put that down. He's our accuser. He's the one that accuses us. He's a liar and a murderer, and there is no truth found in him. How are they described in verse 12? Make sure you've got down, what's the first one? Rulers, those in rulers, and against the authorities, against the cosmic powers and the spiritual forces of evil. This is talking about the demonic angelic host. The demonic angelic host. Satan and his angelic host. Not good angels, but bad angels, okay? And these are rulers. They're ones in authority. They've got power and authority to a limited degree. And they are evil. And in verse 16, make sure you've got down the evil one again. That's the enemy, the devil. Okay, good. So this is our enemy. This is our unseen enemy. So the next question says, where is the wrestle against the devil and his forces taking place? Look at verse 12. Where is the wrestle against the devil and his forces taking place, according to verse 12? In the heavenly places. All right, put that down. The wrestle is in the heavenly places. If you read Ephesians chapter 1, it tells us about the heavenly places and where we have blessings. We have every blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But there's this battle going on, the rule going on in the heavenly places. All right, over the page. Let's see if we can understand this a little bit better. In verse 12, we see that the wrestle against the devil and his forces is in the heavenly places. But where is it made manifest? Where do you and I, where do we see this battle going on? Where do we see it going on? Look at verse 12. Where do we see it going on? It says, for we do not wrestle against what? Flesh and blood. We see this battle going on here on earth. We see this battle going on in humankind. That's where we see the battle going on. Between each other, between communities, between countries. We see lots of wars on the television at the moment. And the battle is manifested through flesh and blood. This present darkness. I don't think anybody here would deny that there's a lot of darkness around. We see that. And we also see in verse 18 that Paul says we're to pray for all the saints. That's the believers, that's you and me. Saints are the believers, that's you and me. So wherever there are saints, there is going to be a battle going on. Wherever there are saints, there is going to be a battle going on. So point number 7 says, what do we think it means to put on or take up the whole armor of God? We've talked about actually physically putting it on as clothing. And the armor of God is both offensive and defensive. And the purpose of armor, I'm sure you realize this, but it's protective. It has an ability to either absorb or deflect the impact of projectiles. So armor is there to protect. It either absorbs the impact or it deflects it. So let's go back to your list. It says just look at your list under point 4. And let's see if we can think about this in a little bit more detail. So the belt of truth is to be fastened on. Truth, that's the foundation, isn't it? We're to be equipped with the knowledge of truth. If we don't have truth, we're not on solid ground. The word of God is truth. The breastplate of righteousness is to be put on. The breastplate covers those vital organs, covers our heart. And it's the place where we need to have correct thinking and correct emotions. We need to protect our emotions. We need to protect our feelings and our actions that arise as a result of those. We may feel angry about something and then sin because we're acting out of that anger. So we need to have that breastplate on. We have shoes on. You know, as believers, we are at peace with God through the gospel. We have peace with him. And we have peace with each other in Christ Jesus. We're to maintain that unity of peace. We've got the gospel. Let's walk in the truth of the gospel. We're saved. We're in Christ Jesus. We need to know that. That's our position. Our identity is in Christ Jesus. This shield of faith. You know, Roman soldiers used to have a big shield. Modern armory is tanks with armor plating around them. But the Roman soldier had a big shield. And it's to extinguish the darts of the evil one. The flaming darts. We're to extinguish those lies that come along and say, you're useless. Who do you think you are? Call yourself a Christian? Lies. You can't do that. Extinguish the lies. Extinguish those schemes, that deceit. The helmet of salvation. A helmet, what does a helmet do? Protects your head. We need to guard our minds. guard our minds. Think on that which is lovely and pure and true and right, Philippians says. And we're to take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, it tells us. The sword of the Spirit, verse 17, is the word of God. And the sword is both a defensive mechanism, but it's also offensive as well. We're to use the word of God rightly. We can speak out truth. And then prayer and supplication. We're to pray at all times in the Spirit. We're to be led by the Spirit in our prayer. He's the one that's to lead us in prayer. This is our, if you like, this is the way that we communicate with our commander, our supreme commander. We need prayer. We need to be praying at all times, receiving from him, speaking to him. It's a two-way communication. So prayer and supplication. And it's not just for ourselves, it's for all the saints. All right, so you can spend more time looking at that. I'm very conscious of the time. We haven't got long enough to really do this great justice, but you can see how this is all working. But let's get to the goal, application. In verse 10, it says, let me just read verse 10 again. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of Molly Watts's might, Nigel Watts's might, Simon Bramwell's might. Is that whose strength we're to be strong in? No. It's to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. The Lord is the source of our strength. Believers are commanded to put on, to take up the whole armor of God so that we will be able to stand and withstand an enemy assault. In verse 13, the command is simply to stand. Like a soldier, we are to be prepared and stand ready. We are called to action. We're to be prepared 24/7. And when we put our guard down, that's when we become vulnerable. But we're to remember that we have our strength is in the Lord. We're to put on the whole armor of God. So, point eight. How are you going to respond to these commands from your supreme commander so that you can stand firm and not sideswiped by the schemes of the devil and the flaming arrows of the evil one? What practical steps are you going to take to be battle ready? I want you to have a think about that just for a minute. What are you going to do? Just from what you've learned today, how are you going to be battle ready? Because I can promise you that if you've not just been in a battle, you're about to go into one. You might be in one right now. The good news is the Lord has won. We are in him. We've been equipped with armor to protect ourselves so that we can stand firm. We can be immutable. We can pray for each other. When I'm weak, you might be strong. Last year, I had breast cancer. And I had a lot of people praying for me. And I knew the Lord's peace every minute of that journey. The saints were praying for me. There's a time that we need to pray for other people, for them to stand firm in the truth. And we can say, not just God bless them, but God, would you remind them to stand firm, to stand strong in your strength? Would you cause them to stand firm? Father, they're feeling weak at the moment. But Lord, would you remind them that you are their protector? You're in control. You are their Lord. So we can pray for each other. All right, wrap it up on the back. A soldier is a member of an army. He doesn't fight alone. As believers, we're part of the body of Christ and we're instructed, according to verse 18, to pray at all times as led by the Holy Spirit for ourselves and all the saints. Let's put on the full armor of God, pray the word of God, and together stand firm in Christ. And there's a little bit more information about the ministry you can read there. But let me just pray, and I'm sorry I have overrun, so apologies to the young people, the leaders. Father, we just thank you for your word. It's the sure word. Thank you, Father, that you never tell us to do anything that you haven't equipped us to do. Thank you that you are strong and we stand firm in your strength. In Jesus' name, amen.